Hello, hello. Welcome to Under the Olive Tree, episode 2, for realsies. I got that mentally worked out now. No problem. Today I want to talk about something a little bit more fun. I'm a big science guy myself, especially biology. Chemistry and physics are also amazing too, but I was never really that good at it. So, yeah. Anyway, I want to hone in on something a little bit more specific. I want to talk about your eyes. And they're so pretty. But they're just so deficient. What I mean is, I feel like a lot of times you hear people say things like, oh, you know, I gotta see it to believe it. But what does that really mean, and what does that really entail? Now, just as an example, our eyes are so weak. I don't know if you've ever heard of these things called mantis shrimp. Mantis shrimp are crazy. So human eyes, they are trichromats, which means that they perceive light, red light, green light, blue light, and then everything else is just kind of a combination of these things. Mantis shrimp, they have 16 types of photoreceptors. They can see in ultraviolet light. They can see polarized light. What? What does that even mean? I looked that up too. I had to look it up because basically what it means is when you're looking at light that's coming out of a light bulb, the wave light moves in waves, so it's moving in all kinds of directions. But when it's polarized, it's like a boom, you know, it's like a spotlight. It's like a shoo. Like that's how these animals and these insects that detect that as their food, I mean, it's giving off a type of light that helps them navigate it. Bees can see ultraviolet light. That makes flowers look different to them. Another like, I guess, aspect of, you know, you want to think about your eyes is how wide apart you can actually see. So a human being can see roughly, it looks like, about 210 degrees of horizontal vision, of which it says only 120 degrees of it is binocular. Rabbits can see 360 degrees vision with minimal blind spots to detect predators. What? Chameleons' eyes, they move independently. 360 degree field of view. 360 degrees. Like, you can't sneak up on these things. Rabbits, you're coming up from behind? No, you're not. You cannot sneak up on these things. 360 degree vision. Human beings? Okay. I have glasses. The doctor told me that I had 20/15 vision, but like with my glasses. That means nothing. Like, listen to this. Hawks and eagles, they have a vision 8 times sharper than human beings. Like falcons, they can focus on things as they're diving at them at 200 miles per hour. 200 miles per hour diving. First of all, the fact that a falcon can even move like that, wow. And it's focusing at that speed. I don't even think I've ever even, I mean, okay, maybe planes, but 200 miles an hour? What? What about at night? You can't see shit at night. Like, don't even try. Go home. Owls, they're apparently, okay, so apparently they have these, obviously in your eyes you have cones and rods. And owls have these large rod, like high density rod cells that give them basically excellent, like, they can see perfectly in complete darkness. I mean, it's daytime to them at night. You're in bed, they're awake. It's daytime. They can see in the dark. You can't see in the dark. You can't see UV. You can't even see infrared. Snakes can see infrared. They can see heat. Like, you can't see heat. You're so basic. You can't see polarized light. Even cuttlefish, even cuttlefish, they use polarized light for navigating things. Are you joking? A cuttlefish is cooler than me. What's happening right now? That's insane. Even the human eye has a blind spot. There's like literally a part in your eye where if you, like, at the right angle and the right distance, you don't see shit. Your brain just kind of fills in the blank. So you don't even, like, and it's in both eyes. I mean, it's small, sure, but it's there. My whole thing is like, why are you relying on your eye? Like, okay, you say, I'll believe it when I see it, but why are you relying on your eyes so much? What do you really see? I mean, if a falcon could somehow randomly start talking to me and as it's like diving 200 miles an hour focused on like a rat, telling me that, you know, Farhan, there's a rat, I'm gonna get it. I'd be like, I believe you, Falcon. Because it sees something. I don't see it, but I believe it. Because that thing can see way better than I can. So I don't know. I feel like I don't really trust my eyes that much. Even sometimes it happens, like you'll see things and you're like, you think it's one thing, but it's not actually going down the way you see it. Does that happen to people? I mean, I could give you an example, like if you see somebody crying. I mean, do you know if they're crying from happiness or from sadness? I guess their frown would maybe give that away. But all I'm saying is, like, you don't really know what you're seeing. Even these animals are way more advanced in their visual prowess, than me. Mantis shrimp are just crazy. You know these little, they're small, but they can bust down aquarium glass. They've been known to like bust aquarium glass, 'cause they can punch it, and it creates like some sort of crazy, it's at such a fast speed that it creates a little sonic boom inside of the water, and boom, you know? There goes your aquarium. Don't keep a mantis shrimp at home. You're gonna flood your living room. These things are crazy. I can't do that. No way, I'd bust my hand. And it's just so, I don't know. Like, my eyes are so weak, so it's like, obviously, of course, you know, these people walk around like, oh, I don't believe that I was created because I don't see the thing that created me. I have to see it to believe it. I mean, that just feels arrogant because your eyes are so weak. What are you gonna see? You're gonna behold the sublime. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Your eyes aren't strong enough for that. Even the way that you perceive light in its shades changes from the angle that you're looking at it from. Like if I'm standing to the left of something versus the right of something, all of a sudden the shade of it is different and the way I perceive its color is different. So do you even, you're not even seeing the same things that other people are seeing in the first place. So interestingly enough, I mean, even if I'm standing in like a crowd or with like a couple people and I'm like, hey, look over there, then they'll all look at different things. They'll notice completely different things. And it's a matter of, you know, what your brain immediately chooses to latch onto. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, your brain is really the one doing the heavy lifting. And perception plays a huge role in how you shape the world that you live in. This bubble that you've created for yourself using your senses. I mean, that's the only way we really receive information. If you boil it all down, everything you ever know is either something you've heard, seen, tasted, smelled, touched. And that's kind of it. You know, it just branches off. Then your brain does this thing where it sort of translates all of those pieces of information into feelings and emotions and perceptions. And your brain is the one doing the heavy lifting, so maybe what you see is the same as what someone else sees, but the way you perceive it is completely different. The way you understand it is different. The way you even feel about it is different. And that's very interesting. Two people see something that should be, I guess, scary. But that's, I get, that's then again now, all of a sudden that's subjective. Because one person is not scared, the other is. They've both seen the same thing, yet they've perceived it in different ways. They felt it in different ways. Right? See, hearing is the same thing. You hear something and, like music. I love music. You know, I shouldn't love music, I guess, so much, but as a Muslim, but damn, I love music. And it's just so, touches you in your soul. I think that's the whole problem. It makes you feel some type of way. You know, if I'm having a good day, I'm not gonna be like, hey, play, you know, play something sad. I'm gonna be like, play something happy. You know, I want some, maybe some Earth, Wind, and Fire or something. I don't know. Some Michael Jackson. I'm not trying to listen to, like, Stan. But the way you perceive things, it depends on your brain. It depends on who you are. It depends on the experiences you've had in your life. Maybe, unfortunately, obviously, there's so many people that suffer from PTSD. They might see something and freak out, something so that might seem like so small to us. Or to anyone that doesn't have it, I guess. So ultimately, it begs the question, really. Are you perceiving what you're seeing, I guess, right or wrong? Well, let me give you an example just to make sense of how even something could be right or wrong. And like I said, it sucks that there's so many people that suffer from PTSD. And that's an example that we could use. You have fireworks, and fireworks go off, and someone with PTSD, that might trigger their, you know, whatever, and they might freak out. But if you could look at it from a third person sort of ghost style view, I mean, they've perceived the fireworks wrong. I mean, they've taken something that should be perceived as like happy or celebration or good, and they've perceived it as a source of fear, as something to run away from. So it wouldn't necessarily be wrong to say that they've perceived it wrong. But in their brains and their hearts and the way that that makes them feel, I mean, everything that's happening to them is absolutely right. And that's what makes perception so interestingly difficult to mess around with. Because what can you tell this person who is suffering from this issue in that exact moment to be like, hey, it's okay, like, calm down. You know, like, everything is fine, actually. This is a celebration. Yeah, so the opposite. Something that is a celebration and instead causes and strikes fear. Man, this kind of thing happens to all kinds of people with all kinds of triggers for all kinds of things, right? You know, you see a person or you see something or anything, really. It could trigger, like, just to elicit. It could elicit a response that's so deep and internal. And you might not like it. Or you do. Maybe. So to me, at least, when I do reflection over this, it makes me wonder, you know, are there things that I'm supposed to be perceiving, but I'm not noticing it at all? Because my eyes are so weak, my brain is so weak. And then all of a sudden you wonder, like, you know, what if there are things that can't be seen or heard or touched or tasted or smelled? How do I perceive something like that? I mean, because that's what you're asking, right? Like, when someone says, like, oh, you know, believe in this magical being in God that exists, but you can't see him, you can't hear him, you can't touch him, you can't feel him, you can't taste it, you can't smell it. So how do you perceive it? How can you perceive it? Well, to me, I mean, it's really a combination of all those things. And it bypasses them still somehow. And you see it, but you can't make sense of it. You hear it, but you can't make sense of it. Like the sunset, and you hear nature. You hear this sort of harmony taking place all around you. You see this beauty and harmony all around you, and you can touch things. Like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever worn gloves and tried to touch anything, and it's crazy how much you rely on what you can feel to know things. And you take all of these senses and you perceive these signs, and somehow it's like all of those things that you can't make sense of bypass all of those signs or all of those senses. Yeah, all of those senses. And it hits you in the heart and it makes you feel something. And then you feel like there's something going on here that your heart is perceiving, but your brain is having a hard time wrapping its head around. And very genuinely, I believe that there's a disconnect there between the heart and the brain. Like, you're not your brain. You know, your brain is more than you. And I could prove it to you right now, like, easy. When you throw a ball and someone catches the ball, your brain is doing very complex physics that you could not do if someone gave you a pencil and paper and gave you all of the equations to do it. And it's calculating trajectory, speed, angle, I mean, like everything. I think that's part of trajectory, but it's calculating so much as that ball is coming towards you, or like when you're throwing the ball and you're looking at that person that's so far away from you. You know, like, I got to throw it this hard, and it's got to go that far, and it's got to go that high. Your brain is doing all of that. Not you. Your brain is calculating all of that. Your brain is more than you, as far as, like, that calculation and, you know, relating to the world around it. Your brain is in tune mathematically with the world around it. But it's your heart. That's where you are. That's where I am. That's where you feel things. That's where you understand, and that's where your emotions are. I know, obviously, you can get into the science of that too, with your brain chemicals and whatnot. But there's a disconnect there between your consciousness that you are as an individual and your brain and what it does for your function and keeps you moving. You know, your brain is calculating how much your heart needs to beat. Your brain is sending signals throughout your body that you might not even realize. I mean, you have reflexes. Like, before, like, you don't even realize, and your brain is reacting because of reflexes. So your brain is doing things that you're not doing. So you're not your brain. You're your heart. And sometimes you have to see with your heart. But that's tough. Anyway, that's all for today, I guess. Signing off. Tune in again next time. Hopefully this made you think. Bye.